Amazing claps. Well done, guys. All righty. Last session, eh? Who's had fun this weekend? I've had an amazing time. I've loved being with you guys the whole time. And maybe you didn't come to camp, and maybe this is the first time you've met me. You've picked the right time. I'll give it everything I've got now. It's my last message before I fly home in the morning. And so I just want to deposit something that hopefully will help you guys in the next coming season. I can see and I know, and I've said this a couple of times at camp, but I know God is going to do something amazing with this youth ministry. I really do. And I want to say this as well to you guys here. Whether you like it or not, God is going to do something amazing with this youth ministry. You know, I know it was funny, Josh sort of talking about, hey, come a bit closer in the seats and stuff like that. But for me, I'm like, I'd want to be in the front row. I want to get as close as I can because God is going to do something amazing. Not picking on anyone in particular. Would you like to tell your testimony now? Yeah, they're a bit cowardly this morning, I thought, but that's okay. All right, let's get into it. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds. And the one who knocks, the door will be opened. This verse is quite profound, and yet when I look at most of our lives, I see the very opposite. I see a generation who don't ask, who don't seek, and who don't knock. If I was to just take a glimpse or a snapshot of our prayer life, and when I say our, I include myself, I would think, if I was to take a stab in the dark, for most of us, we're closer to asking for nothing than anything. We're closer to just praying generic prayers so that we can't be let down. But tonight, what I want to talk about as I finish off this weekend is that I want to see faith start to rise up in our prayers. That we can actually walk with an attitude or a posture or a way of life that anything that we ask for, we believe God could come through for us. That any door of opportunity, we can knock on and God could open it. That when we start to seek, we'll actually find the answers of the things that we're looking for. I want us to start to picture a youth ministry where we start to declare things like, God, we want to see 5 people come to know Jesus, that we'll be open and ready to receive what God's going to do, that we'll have the faith to actually believe that this is possible. I sometimes think we believe God isn't supernatural by the way that we act. We're quicker to go to a doctor than we are to ask for healing. We're quicker to try to rationalize Christianity than just pray for God to intervene and radically change that person's life. We find it easier just to pray generic prayers instead of stepping out in faith and saying, God, no, I don't want to settle for this sort of life. I want to go for more. This verse says so clearly, not just what to do, but what will happen. It says, for everyone, not someone, not a few, but for everyone who asks, receives. The one who seeks, finds. And to the one who knocks, the door will be opened. I want to see a generation of young people with prayer that has faith-inspired words. That has faith-inspired words to believe that their God could do anything and everything. I know that we might say, oh, if you pray too radical, it might not happen. I would rather have it not happen than not ask at all. And even if it doesn't happen, I'll just keep going and I'll pray again, believing God will rock up in my life and in my situation. Because this verse doesn't tell me it's for someone. This verse tells me it's for everyone. So you might be sitting here tonight. Maybe this is your first time at youth. This is your first experience of church. Maybe you've been here 100 times before and you're not quite sure this verse and this scripture applies to you. That whatever you ask, you will receive. I want you to think about your last few prayers and what you've actually asked. And is it something worth receiving? And beyond that, is it something worth telling someone about if you did receive it? Oh, you know, just this week I was praying, you know, that God would make me happier. And I'm not saying happiness is a bad thing. But then I smiled. And I was happier. And the testimony itself doesn't have a lot of power. But what about if your prayer was, God, I want the opportunity to share my faith with one person. Just one person this week to share my faith. You would come in this door buzzing if someone actually was open enough to hear you share your faith with them. You would walk in here with your whole worldview changed because God opened a door that could never have been opened. You know, a friend that you've been inviting to youth, you prayed and you said, God, I want them at youth this week. Not one day, not someday. No, this week, Lord, I really want to see them come along and hear about this Jesus guy that I know. What if they rocked up that night? Your world would change. What if the situation you're going through, those thoughts, the struggle that you're facing in your life right now that you haven't told anybody about, you know, that when you look at the mirror, you're saying words and it's just eating you up on the inside. What if you prayed for God to give you a new identity and all of a sudden you saw yourself in a whole new way? Then when you rocked up to church that next Sunday or talking to your friends, you're like, guess what? And they go, what is different about you? You go, hey, I've got a whole new identity in Christ. What if you prayed a prayer that your school would be changed forever and it actually changed? What if as a leadership here, as one youth, we prayed prayers that we're going to double over the next 6 months? Crazy prayers. But we're not just going to grow double over 6 months. We're going to grow people that are healthy and strong in their faith over the next 6 months. That we're going to be so passionate about God over the next... What if our prayer meetings, or actually the best prayer meetings this whole church has, happened out of our youth ministry? That we could shake this place up. I'm here to talk about faith and how to live in the impossible. Because we do serve a God of the impossible. We forget this sometimes. God can do anything. The faith the size of a mustard seed, which is a small seed, for those who don't know, can move a mountain. See, I think it's less about the mustard seed and more about the mountain. What he's saying is, yes, it's not about your works. What he's saying is, I can do anything. With just the tiniest amount of faith, I can do anything. And so tonight I want to challenge us and inspire us and encourage us to start praying big prayers. Start to believe for big things. Think about it right now. What's something impossible in your life? What's something impossible in your life? And start to pray for a miracle. And for every person here, it would be something different. For someone here, it would be, hey, just a better result in my family life. For someone else here, it might be a physical healing because there's something going on that you haven't told other people about. For someone else here, it might be depression. And I know you're smiling a lot right now, but deep down, you felt there's this dark cloud just hovering over you all the time. What if God could remove that in just a moment? Let's start to pray prayers that believe for anything and everything. I want us to talk about stirring up faith and how we help each other to have a greater expectation, a greater faith. I love at Rise Youth, my youth group, how over the years our faith started to rise. So I can sit here, or stand here, I'm not sitting at all, but I can stand here with sincerity and say, I believe this youth ministry could overflow this room because I've seen it in my own youth ministry. I've seen it where we wouldn't fit probably in a room this size very well. We'd be bursting outside because of what God has done. Because we prayed prayer after prayer. Our youth ministry, and you talk about money, and I love what Josh is doing, raising money, because our youth ministry paid for all the lights in our church, paid for the subs in our church, spent thousands of dollars that we invested into our church that the youth just had spare. In one term, our youth ministry raised $10,000 with 50 young people. That's probably just over twice what you got here. So even if we got two of every one of you, $10,000 is still a heck of a lot of money. In one term, $10,000. Why? Because we prayed bold prayers. Because we wanted to run a program that would reach kids and youth with a school holiday program that we'd never done before. And so we didn't have any money. So we had to raise all the money before we ran the event, because if no one rocked up, we didn't want to go bankrupt and leave a bill for the church for $10,000. And so over that Wow Fest, we spent $10,000 and invested in 70 or 80 kids rocking up. Then we drove to the country and did it for a country church that wasn't even our church and ran it for them as well and paid for theirs as well. I'm here to say as a testimony that it can happen. I want to talk about and look at a guy in Acts called Paul. We've talked about Paul a couple of times, and I want to read you a story. And I want to compare that story to Instagram. And then we put those two together. I think we're going to get something out of this. And we're going to walk away with something new inside our own life. This is what it says in Acts 14, 8 to 11. Acts 14, 8 to 11. And just so you know, if you didn't know this, the reason it's called Acts, it's because the Acts of the Apostles. It's what the Apostles did. So if you want to be inspired in your faith, go read the book of Acts. Man, this thing is massive, what God did through the book of Acts. What the early church initiated is just crazy. Anyway, not talking about that tonight. Acts 14, 8. There sat a man who was lame, or in other words, couldn't walk. He had been that way from birth and had never walked. He listened to Paul as he was speaking. Paul looked directly at him, saw that he had faith to be healed, and called out, "Stand up to your feet." At that, the man jumped up and began to walk. When the crowd saw what Paul had done, they shouted, "The gods have come down to us in human form." First thing I want us to understand as we get into this is people that aren't Christian can still recognize supernatural acts. And it asks them questions. How did that happen? And you read later on in this verse, they're like thinking one's Hermes and one's Zeus. They're thinking they're the Greek gods that we think about in mythology. That's who they thought they were. That's how crazy this act was for these people. But I want us to look at a couple of things when it comes to faith. And we're going to relate it, as I said, to Instagram. For those who don't know what Instagram is, just in case, Instagram is like Facebook, but just way cooler, is how I would word it. What you post shows what you value. What you post shares what you value. This is very simple. You follow anyone's newsfeed, you follow anyone on Instagram, you'll get a picture of what they love and what they value. So I follow other pastors. So pretty much every photo is a picture of their church. That's what they love. They love their church. And there'll be photos of their family because they love their family. I follow a blogger who talks about food and loves food. So guess what? Every post is of a restaurant, of different meals, and it's inspiring. And I get hungry every time I watch it. And I'm like, I really want that. And so occasionally I've gone to the place where that person has written about or posted about because I was inspired. Other people I follow, guys at my youth, just to check to make sure they're still doing okay. And so I follow them and to see what they love and what they don't love. And I get a pretty clear picture. You know, the ones that get into a new relationship, it's all about their boyfriend or girlfriend. Every single photo about how much they love each other and how it's their bae and it's so amazing. And life is, and so I just get like 40,000 photos of their stinking ugly boyfriends. I'm sure he's good looking to her. I'm just saying what I'm seeing. But we post what we value. And I wonder if we could treat our life like Instagram. What do we post or share about our life? What do we share about our life? See, I love that this lame man who couldn't walk, first thing he did was listen to what Paul was sharing. This is quite interesting. It actually says he listened to Paul as he was speaking. So this man was inspired by his faith by listening to Paul. Now I imagine, and it doesn't tell us what Paul said, But I imagine Paul was talking about the supernatural God he encountered on the road to Damascus. See, for those who don't know, Paul was a Christian killer. He was on his road, he was on his way to kill Christians. And he had a note, and on that road, he encountered Jesus Christ, and he had a supernatural, radical conversion in that moment. And his whole life changed, and I think he was up there, wherever up there was, and he was sharing about this supernatural God. He was saying, you guys, you've got to hear me. There is something amazing happened in my life. This God came in and rocked up and met me, and there were scales, and then I went and prayed, and the scales were removed, and now I can see, and all of a sudden, you guys, you've got to meet this Jesus I'm talking about. You know, I was going along here and this miracle happened. I was going along there and this miracle happened. And later on I was in prison and I was out. And you got to hear me about this. He was sharing about a supernatural God. And I wonder how much that affected those that were around him. See, it actually goes on to say that Paul saw his faith. See, faith is contagious. As I'm preaching right now, what actually is happening is I'm stirring up the little bit or the big bit of faith that is actually currently in your life. I'm stirring it up so you start to dream again for the impossible because I'm saying things and sharing about the supernatural God. So what happens is a spark lights in your life off the spark from my life. I remember when I was at Hillsong about 5 years ago now, right in the middle, and those, you might be a bit young, but there was a swine flu epidemic. Remember the swine flu? It was a crazy thing. I thought everyone was going to turn into pigs. They didn't, did they? Yeah. Well, anyway, we're at Sydney. And I'll just talk to you because, does everyone else know the swine flu? Remember that? Yeah, it was a fun time. Anyway, I was at Hillsong Conference where there's about 25,000 people in the room. And over the course of the week, you heard the coughs increasing as everyone started getting sick. And me and my wife, Vanessa, were, for some dumb reason, we were unwise youth pastors, and we drove to Hillsong with a team of people on a bus. Just ridiculous. Catch a plane. It's way better. But we drove like the 15 hours there, and the 15 hours back, I got hit with swine flu. Me, my wife, and a couple other people. And so I am like passed out on a bus. Like, I'm talking like burning up fever, delusional, had no idea what was going on, and just burning with a fever. But you know what was crazy? I didn't have to try to catch swine flu. It was contagious. It was in the air. I just caught it without even knowing it. And I want to say to you, faith is very similar. When you walk into an atmosphere of faith, it's contagious. Even if you don't know it, you start to think things you never thought. You start to dream of the impossible. You start to think things like, wow, if that happened there, then maybe that can happen in me. Oh, wow, I'm in a room right now where people believe that God actually can do something. All of a sudden, it starts to happen in your life. You start to believe it can happen. It is contagious. It stirs it up. Just by you sitting here tonight, your faith is beginning to rise and you're catching something you didn't plan to catch. It is something that's starting to grow inside you. And just like when I got sick, it started off small and slowly got worse and worse and worse until I was the delusional monkey that was running around in the back of the bus. But the whole time, it was growing. And I'm here to say, as you stick into youth, as you be a part of this youth group, as you stay open to what God is saying, your faith will rise week after week, month after month, year after, and one day you'll stand up and declare the amazing things God is doing. Because we spur each other on, we champion each other on, we believe in each other, we celebrate each other. So when you're praying for a miracle, I'm praying with you for your miracle. When you're believing for something, I'm believing with you. When Josh gets up here and he says there's a youth group, then we're going, yes, Josh, we're 100% and we are believing that's going to happen. Because our faith encourages one another. He was listening to Paul speak. And his faith began to rise, however you want to say that. The second thing we notice about Instagram is that once you've put your photo up and you've chosen the right one of your 7,000 selfies you've taken that day to choose the one that makes you look the best, you then do a process called adding filters. And does anyone here know what the purpose of a filter is? Wrong. It's to release the animals. No. The correct answer is to highlight what you want people to see and reduce what you want them not to see. That's the purpose of a filter. You put a filter over to highlight the part that you like or you want people to notice, and it will reduce. So when I am taking photos of someone preaching, I always use the X-Pro 2 filter, because what it does is it highlights the person speaking and all the dark stuff behind fades away. So it will just take the few spots of light, because when someone's speaking, usually the lights are focused on them. And so at our church, when somebody is speaking, you try it right now. Did it? Good. What will happen is it'll tend to wash away the stuff in the background, you know, the chords, the stuff that doesn't matter. The people don't want to see that. And it'll highlight the speaker, because when I'm taking that photo, I want people to notice the speaker. They don't care if the chord's on the floor. They don't care what, unless you're really cool, what type of guitar it was behind me. Is that a Gibson? What you're doing is highlighting what you want people to see. And when it comes to the supernatural, when you add a filter of the supernatural, you highlight what you want people to see. See, there's a lot of things that we don't see correctly because of the filters over our life. I think about if you overlay the hurt filter. Wow, you scared me then. Yeah, liking this? Josh is happy. That's good. If you overlay the hurt filter over your life, what will happen is it will show up all the things someone has ever said over your life that made you hurt. And when you walk into a room, any comment will automatically highlight itself as being a hurtful comment. So you know when you've been hurt in life and you've been, I'll use an example, when you've been bullied. There'll be plenty of you here that have experienced bullying. And after a bullying episode, because you're hurt, what will happen is the next comment that comes from any person will automatically come across negative. So someone makes a joke of, you know, just those typical jokes you make as teenagers where you'd be like, oh, that hat's stupid. And they're just joking and they're just mucking around. But because you've got a hurt filter over your life, you take it right in. And all of a sudden it impacts what you see. And then you start saying things like, does everyone hate my hat? What's wrong with my hat? And it was just a joke. No one cared. It was just because it was a West Coast hat or a Richmond jumper. And nobody liked the Richmond jumper. You know what I mean? It takes it in. It's a hurt filter. The lonely filter. When you think you don't have any friends, you sit at the back. Because that's what you see. You start to say things like, no one ever wants to talk to me. Every time I walk into a room, and I've watched it in young people, and young people have told me this story. They walk into a room and go, whenever I walk in, everyone stops talking. They say, no one wants to talk to me ever. And I'm saying, no, that's just the filter you've got over your eyes. They like you. They want to talk to you. But what you've done is you've walked up to them. They've stopped talking, probably to say hello. And you've walked away straight away because you expected them to do that. And so you see life with that lens. The rejection filter. You stop asking people anything because you just assume they're going to say no. And even before they say no, you'll say this line, they'll just say no anyway. What's the point of even asking? I'm not going to talk to a leader because they'll just say no and they won't want to talk to me anyway. You know, I'm not going to ask to be on the worship team because, oh, they won't want me anyway. And you have a rejection filter. And so you've already decided and you look at life through that lens. But in the same way, you can apply a faith filter over your life. When you look at situations, the filter of faith, which looks impossible, all of a sudden becomes possible. I love that Paul looked directly at him and his faith filter turned on, and he saw that he, the guy who had never walked, had the faith to be healed. Because he had a filter of faith, he looked at him and said, wait a minute, I see faith inside you. I reckon you can get up and walk. Now, this guy has never walked. Nobody's ever said he could walk. It was actually stated at the very start his life. He was a man that couldn't walk. Nobody had ever walked up to him and said, hey, mate, why don't you go for a walk with me? Let's go for a jog down to the marina. No one said that because it had been stated and known by everybody in that place that this man could not walk from the day he was born. He'd been told his whole life that he couldn't walk. So his filter was, I can't walk. I'm disabled. I'm a cripple. But see, when Paul looked at him through the filter of faith, he saw the faith in him. A glimmer of hope that began to rise as he was listening to Paul. So as he is sitting on the floor, and I'll sit down here, listening to the faith of Paul, Paul is standing here looking at him, seeing the faith begin to rise. And because he had that filter over his life, a filter of expecting anything, a filter of, hey, you don't have to be like that anymore. You don't have to live that life anymore. Because of that filter, he was able to look at him and say, let's change that situation. Because I know who my God is and I have faith, I know that we can change that situation. I'm telling you, that cripple had the faith the size of a mustard seed. It wasn't big faith. It wasn't bold faith. In fact, it doesn't say the cripple said anything. The cripple was just sitting there listening. But because Paul had this filter, he was able to change the situation. Next situation you arrive to in life, whether it's a problem in life, whether it's a situation with a friend, I encourage you to put the filter of faith over that. Maybe you need a job and you keep telling yourself you're not good enough. Put the faith filter on. I don't have enough money. Put the faith filter on. I don't have it all sorted out. Put the faith filter on. I'd even encourage you when you give into youth, don't give with what you got. Give with what you expect, what you want God to do in your life. If you want to live a life where you're fruitful financially, then give fruitfully. Give with faith to what God wants to do. Now, I'm not asking you to pull your money away and be stupid. I'm just asking you to live with faith. Anybody can give in the natural. But the faithful people are the ones that give above and beyond. And my final one is that the comment section of Instagram is the most important section. Let's be very important here. You get a photo of a sunset and you have no idea what's going on. It's just a sunset. You have no idea where that sunset is. And if you're anything like me, you don't really care where that sunset is. You know, it's a picture of a random person. You're like, I've no idea who that person is. But often in the comment section, it brings clarity to what's actually required from this photo, why they've shared this photo, why it matters at the end of the day. You know, I can put a picture up of my daughter. And if you don't know who my daughter is, it's just a picture of a three-year-old kid. But if I write, hey, this is my daughter who miraculously this, this, and this happened, all of a sudden this picture comes to life. And it starts to add authority to the photo. It starts to add clarity to the photo. You know, I've seen photos of a service. We can take a photo right now of this room. And it's just a photo of a few young people sitting in a room. That's all it is. But if I write a comment about how I believe God is going to change the atmosphere of this town through a few young people here at One Youth, all of a sudden every person that looks at my photo sees it clearer. They actually start to look at your face and go, I want to recognize that guy one day. I want to see that girl one day. One day when he or she is over here doing this and started another youth group in another church and God's released them to do something crazy. One day when we get reports of One Youth back here in Adelaide where I am, we're going to be able to look back at this photo and go, wow, look at what God has done. The comment section is so important because at the end of the day, unless we start to speak, faith can't be activated. Hear me, young person, as I close. It cannot be activated without you speaking. One of the things I did in my youth group was to stop me being a coward is I would get up in front of everyone and just declare what I felt God was saying. Because once I set it up here, I couldn't take it back anymore. So when we decided to do our first Jessica Hall Oprah, I got up on the stage. Got up on the stage and I'm like, youth, God's declared to us that we're going to run a school holiday program. Woo, yeah. Everyone's cheering. And he's going to use you to pay for it. Yeah. But because I declared it, because I spoke it out, faith started to rise in the room. But if I'd sat back and just waited to see if the money came in, guess what? Before that moment, I had only ever had, in fact, I didn't even have a bank account. The youth had no bank account, had no money. I had a dream. This is where my faith was. I had a dream one day of having $1,000 in our youth account that didn't exist. That was my dream. That's how far I thought God could take it. And God in one term made that tenfold. in one term. But I had to speak it out. I had to get up there and be willing to make a fool of myself in front of everyone else. I would be willing to put it all on the line. Faith doesn't work with half-hearted comments. It's all or nothing. And I love how Paul says these famous words, stand up on your feet. Stand up on your feet. He told a man who had never walked to stand in front of everybody. He didn't walk up and go, we're going to try and make you stand up. No. Is it working? Is your legs okay?
I don't know.
No. I'm disabled. He didn't do that, did he? He stood back. He stood back and he said, stand up, to let everyone see what God could do. He added a comment to his faith, to what he was sharing. He took his testimony, what he was sharing about in that meeting, whatever was happening, where the guy was leaning in, and he saw the faith and he recognized God. And what he did was he recognized God moving. And he said, I can see God moving in this man's life. And so he then did the thing that none of us would ever do and yelled out, stand up! And the guy got up and everyone went nuts in the place. Can you imagine what God would do in Port Lincoln as we started to apply this level of faith to our life? Now, I'm not saying to yell at every person that can't walk and tell them to stand up. I'm telling you to recognize when God is moving, which is what Paul did, because he had a faith filter and went, hey, I recognize the faith in him. He actually wants to walk, and I think God wants to get him to walk. And so he declared what God wanted to do before God did it, and that is faith. As I close tonight, I want you to remember this. Faith is the confidence in what we hope for and the assurance about what we do not see. That's Hebrews 11:1, a famous scripture that talks about faith. That we have confidence in what we hope for and we have assurance about what we do not see. Tonight as I close, let that be the cry of us as a youth ministry. Let that be the cry of us as young people, that we will have hope in what we don't see, what nobody else sees. And that just like that man who never walked, there'll be people that don't ever know Jesus that will encounter Jesus. There'll be people that have never experienced the presence of God that will experience the presence of God. That there are people even sitting in this room right now that are so cynical and so caught up in their own world, they're missing it. But I'm telling you now that I have faith that God will change your life even if you don't want it. I believe faith is contagious, and you just being here is enough for God to rock up in your world. So tonight as I leave and as we just close up and do whatever it is we're supposed to be doing afterwards, my encouragement is live a life with faith expectation. Believe for the biggest things possible. Don't settle short. Remember my opening verse, ask and you will receive. Thank you, guys.